hell is just about to break loose in your country. We've lost our moral compass. In the last days, a good book says, perilous times will come, and it's coming here.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. Here's your host.
Hello, everybody. David Masters here today, and I got a question for you. Have you been a person who has been damaged by delusion? Now, that's a big question because all of us have delusions of some sort. Yeah, I'll go back to when I was a child, and I used to believe all kinds of strange things, whatever it may be. I mean, what did I know? How did I know who to believe or what to believe? Of course, we would hope that we can believe our parents, but I mean, thank God, you know, that most of us were not born within the last, let's say, 10 years, when the insanity has reached a peak, you know, peak insanity of wokeness and political correctness and God knows what. And maybe it's been more than 10 years, maybe it's been 20 years, but yeah, the last 10 years. And then during the Bidenian era, if you think about it objectively, it was kind of like the Roman era, Caligula Biden, yes. And why, thank you, Mr. Kahuna Al, for mentioning my website. I can't do it, but thank you. But the delusion of Christianity can also be one of those things that has damaged people in ways that are unspeakable. And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus himself said, know the truth, and it shall make you free. And what he understood was that we were all in some kind of a state of duress. We were all in some kind of mental, psychological, spiritual prison. Because what would be the point of saying, know the truth, and it shall make you free? Well, he was talking spiritually, if nothing else. Spiritual freedom is the actual freedom. There is no other kind of actual freedom other than you've got choices that you can make and you have freedom of choices. But true freedom is spiritual. That's the ultimate freedom. And nobody can take that away from you unless you allow them to. But to begin with, we don't have it. We don't have spiritual freedom because we don't necessarily know the truth. And this is more than, remember what the word know means. It, in Latin, I think it's either Latin or Greek, it means to be intimate with. To be intimate with. So when you know the truth, there's a certain closeness that you have with the source of truth. And so what's happened in the world, and especially in the last, I'm going to say, couple hundred years, the further that the truth has been removed from certain areas of any church, the more that that church becomes the weapon itself of evil. Now, what do I mean by that? Okay, so these are the difficult conversations that you have with people when you question a couple of things. One, and I'll start there, is Jesus God? I don't ever hear Jesus saying he's God in the scripture. But there are people who insist that Jesus and God are the same person. Now, he never said it. He said, yes, I and the Father are one. And you know what he meant by that. He didn't mean we're the same person. He said we are from the same source. We are the same substance. I and my Father are one. If you're in agreement with somebody, let's just say you're deciding on what dessert you want. Let's just keep it simple. So you're having dessert after dinner. You both want the berry pie. So when the waiter comes, you say, We will both want the same thing. We're one in agreement. That's simple. Being one in choices, in spirit, not a complicated thing to understand, but when somebody says, well, they killed God when they killed Jesus, I mean, that makes no sense at all. You can't kill God. You just can't. God is not killable. God is everlasting. You can't kill something that is imperishable. You just can't kill it. It's a sort of an oxymoron. I mean, objectively speaking, unless, of course, you've surrendered reason to go along with the mass formation, with the crowd. There's a lot of churches that have a mass formation, especially law of attraction churches like Joel Osteen. What a phony. And so have you ever heard of the author Lee Strobel? So Lee Strobel started out as an atheist. He started out trying to prove that, you know, religion and Christianity were a joke. And he, the more he studied the scripture, the more he was objective about it, the more he came around to becoming and being a believer. And I'm going to say this. I had a run-in with some people just yesterday who truly believe that unless you believe the whole Bible, you're not a Christian. And I said, so I thought about this and I asked the question, going back to the thief on the cross, I said, was the thief on the cross next to Jesus, was he a Christian? Oh, the answer is no. I said, were Jesus's disciples Christians or were they Jews? Well, the answer is, of course, they were Jews. And was Jesus himself a practicing Jew at the time? The answer is, that is correct. He told his people and he did the Sabbath and he did all, he went along with the most of the, I don't know if not generally speaking, the Christian observance, I'm sorry, the Jewish observances. So, objectively speaking, weren't these people that we think of as Christians literally practicing Jews who were coming around to a new perspective? The thief on the cross. Well, think about it. The thief on the cross was potentially the first actual real Christian. As a conversion point, that at the last moment of his life, he was saved, according to the story. But he was not only not a Christian, he was a thief. He was a lawbreaker. But his little tiny bit of mustard seed of faith changed everything, changed the trajectory of his life. So if you think about that objectively, the man on the cross who said, will you remember me on this day? And Jesus said, yes. There's the bar. Think about it. Please think about it. The bar was not set above anybody's head. The bar was set very reasonably low so that a person could literally spend their whole life in error. But at any point before death, and even in my opinion, having studied near-death experiences for much over the last 40 years, even in death, people have been saved. Even though you be dead, yet shall you live. If you have anything left in you that can reach from this human space toward the Father, toward the Christ, you can be saved. But there are Christians who are the biggest enemy, in my opinion. They're worse than the Muslims in Iran. The Christians who really believe that you have to believe the whole Bible in order to be a Christian. And they will argue it to their death. So I'm going to present you some evidence today Not that you necessarily need it. Maybe many of you already have come to the same conclusion. And, you know, one of the greatest things we have as people who believe in Christ was what God said to us in the Old Testament. Be still and know that I am God. You'll find that at FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back.
Erica McKenzie died and stood in the presence of her Creator, and He showed her something about the power of words. So what did God say to her?
God put the palm of His hand down and appeared in the palm of His hand a huge rock. You are the rock. You are the light. The light is of me, and I am with you. And as He said that, He let go of the rock, and we watched the rock begin to fall together. And finally, it made one big impact that set off one ripple.
Each of us has the power to affect good or bad change in other people. Just like Erica McKenzie experienced what God was telling her about the rippling effect of water, that each human being has an effect on another. And this is why the secret power of words will help you understand your sensitivity to words and the power they hold over you.
And we stood together and we watched as that ripple, it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew till I couldn't even see the border of that single ripple. And God said to me, "Mankind is the water. You are the ripple."
The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters explains why words affect you so deeply and why they don't have to. Words can be confusing and destructive, except for when they are loaded with meaning in order to convey understanding. One person uses words to say the right thing, another person twists the facts. Which one do you believe? What is the truth? Confusing? Yes, but if you have understanding, you will not be confused. If you have objectivity, you can see the intent behind each person's words.
God said, "You are the ripple. Your thoughts, words, and actions will affect mankind as the ripple does the water."
Visit FHU.com and order The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters. That's FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David Masters. Here's your host.
All right, continuing with the topic. I know it's a difficult topic. I know it irritates people. It makes them angry. But it's maybe some people need to be angry so that they can see the error of their ways. I don't know. Everybody's entitled to be stupid. Everybody's entitled to be ignorant. Everybody's entitled to be wrong. Everybody's entitled to hold erroneous and untrue beliefs. It's part of being human. I mean, we've all been wrong. We've all made mistakes. We've all been stupid in certain ways before we are no longer. So on the Sean Ryan show, he had Lee Strobel on. I think it's called The Case for Christ, if I'm not mistaken, the name of his book. Very, very eloquently. But you see, if you do your research, if you're actually interested in the subject of what it is that you believe, which most people aren't, by the way, this is my problem, and I love Catholic people, but my problem is they're lazy in the sense that they allow other people to read their Bible for them. They don't read their own Bible, unless they do. But you know, and Rush Limbaugh used to joke, "With half my brain tied behind my back, I'll do your thinking for you." You can't let somebody do that. He did it tongue in cheek. Okay. It was funny. He was mocking the dark side because the dark side wants to do your thinking for you. Doesn't it? And the dark side will and does do your thinking for you if you let it. But see, the objective class, as opposed to the subjective class, the objective class of people who has elected to do their research and to understand what it is that they believe and say they believe, they come to slightly different conclusions than the subjective class, which means they allow other people to do their thinking for them. The subjective class of people. The stupid people, like those who are out protesting in front of ICE facilities, Immigration and Custom Services. They out themselves for being stupid by being stupid. What was that movie with Tom Hanks? I can't remember the name of it now. Stupid is as stupid does. Right? Can't remember the name of the movie. Somebody will help me. Anyway, those people let somebody or something else do their thinking for them. That's what they do. They like that. They don't want to actually do any possible excavation around the things that they've accepted because they could discover something. They could discover that what they've accepted is a lie. In a way, it's kind of painful to discover that you've believed a lie and built a life around it. You know what I'm saying? Forrest Gump. Thank you, Mr. Kakuna. Forrest Gump. A very interesting movie for a lot of reasons, but stupid is as stupid does. That's exactly true. So it's not like a put down. It's like an observation. Wow, look at that person. The other day, another woman was set on fire by a miscreant on a train. And what have they done? What have the authorities that they've taken people's right to self-defense away? So if there was one person on that train that was able to defend that poor woman, she wouldn't be fighting for her life in a hospital. Innocent person just poured gasoline on her head and lit her head on fire. That is the Democrat Party. That perfectly epitomizes the Democrat Party. Lighting themselves on fire. Self-immolation. And the stupidest of people would say, well, I think that it's time for me to do that too. Because they let other people set the example and they just follow it like lemmings. Like dysfunctional lemmings. Well, I mean, lemmings are designed to have, I don't know, some kind of follower instinct, but individuals, each person has a solemn responsibility or duty to see the truth for themselves, whatever that may be. If you let somebody else tell you the truth, I don't care, even if it's scripture, and you just go, does that mean you've experienced the depths of that truth? Does it mean that you've been awakened by that truth? Does it mean that you have somehow even been saved from some errant idea, belief, or behavior by that truth? Doesn't mean, So anyway, before we go to break, I'm going to play a clip to you from the Sean Ryan Show with Lee Strobel. Here it comes.
If Jesus is also God, who was he praying to?
Well, what's interesting, Jesus, at one point, shortly before he was killed, got up before a group and he said, I and the Father are one. But the Greek word for one there is not masculine, it's neuter. which means Jesus was not saying, I and the Father are the same person. He was saying, I and the Father are the same thing. We're one in nature. We're one in essence. And that's why people picked up stones to kill him, because they said, you're just a man and you're claiming to be God. So Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He was saying, I'm not the same person, but we are the same God.
Yes, and one of our chatters, Eyes to See, says the devil quoted scripture when he argued with Jesus. I think it's so pathetic. Truly, I think it's pathetic to see people in these mass formation churches screaming and yelling when a preacher, and a lot of these preachers, they use heightened emotions to stir people up and get them to have that religious feeling. My dad talked about that a lot, because to know the truth, yeah, you know, who gets excited when you, ooh, yay, yeah, wow. I don't see Jesus on the Sermon of the Mount, you know, with a organ in the background and people screaming and yelling, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they were quietly reflecting on what he was saying, taking it in. Wasn't any need for heightened emotion. Quick break, FHU.com. Find out about the Be Still and Know exercise.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back. You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David Masters. Here's your host.
All right, welcome back. And I don't mean to upset you. I'm not the enemy. And I'm here just to deliver a message. You know, that's what angels, the word angel means messenger. I'm not saying I'm an angel. Trust me, far from it. My feet are really, really cheap clay. Cheap. So I got feet of clay. But I'm just a messenger. Aren't we all? Aren't we all deliverers of messages of some sort? So I hope you are taking this in the spirit that it's intended. I want to help you see the truth that sets you free. Whatever that may be. If I'm wrong, let me know. We got a chat. And, you know, if you're watching on Rumble, let me know. Send me a message on Rumble, on the chat. Perilous World Radio, all one word, on Rumble. But I want to play this Lee Strobel again, because I got another clip I'm going to play for you. So let's go back to what he said. Let's just take it in.
If Jesus is also God, who was he praying to?
Well, what's interesting, Jesus, at one point, shortly before he was killed, got up before a group and he said, I and the Father are one. But the Greek word for one there is not masculine, it's neuter, which means Jesus was not saying, I and the Father are the same person. He was saying, I and the Father are the same thing. We're one in nature. We're one in essence. And that's why people picked up stones to kill him, because they said, you're just a man and you're claiming to be God. So Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He was saying, I'm not the same person, but we are the same God.
So we are not the same God. In other words, Jesus was saying, I am from the Father. So now here's number two. And I'm not talking about number two, if you know what I mean. I'm talking about my second issue. My issue with those people who have come to believe that there's something called the rapture. Now, I have a real problem with that, because I think that that is a demonic thing. And I think it does make a difference, because, you know, the thing that divides people on earth are beliefs, right? And I mean, when people have opposing beliefs, that can really create tension in social systems. And the Palestinians and the Jews, you know, and the Palestinians want to kill all the Jews. It's not even clear why, other than there's an enmity, an age-old enmity of half-brothers for the love of a father. But that's a whole nother issue. I'm only making a point. A belief that you're going to get caught up to escape what this thing they call the tribulation. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I don't know. I think we've been in it. To be honest with you, Biden represented the tribulation. And before that, it was something else. And someone else, not Trump. Trump is the answer. He's the antidote to the problems that existed. But I really do have a problem with the people. Again, and they say we have to believe everything in the Bible in order to be Christian. Some people do anyway, not everybody. And I gave you the example of, well, the thief on the cross, was he a Christian? Were the disciples of Jesus, were they Christians? Well, we think of them as Christians, but they were Jews, as was Jesus. And then if you take a look at the history of the Christian church, it started Christianity, belief in Jesus, as a sect over 100 years. And then, so after 100 years after Jesus was crucified is when the practice of Christianity started as a religion, but I don't think Jesus would be happy with that either, to be honest with you. Different issue. So I want to make a point about this thing called the rapture, which is, the average person, see, it's a neat idea in let's just say as a fantasy, but in practice, I don't know why anybody has an incentive to believe it. So I'm going to play for you a piece of audio. Mr. Jones and I were having a conversation about this on one of the podcasts that I do. And here it comes.
I go to a church here and the pastor is really waking up. In his last message, he literally threw in the rapture. And he said, now look, you guys, I know this is going to upset a lot of people. He already prefaced it by saying that the rapture is not in the Bible. I don't know why he did it, but he threw out the truth.
Well, maybe because it's not in the Bible.
No, because yes. He knew he was going to get flack for it.
Yeah.
So he threw it out and he said, look, it's something that was invented in the 1800s by one person. It's so weird because now everybody has taken it up. All these high level preachers.
Left Behind.
Kevin Sorbo. Yeah,
exactly.
But here's what's interesting about it. I heard somebody that's close to me say, well, he was wrong. I believe in it. And everybody agrees. And I thought, there it is right there. It's a consensus belief.
Yeah.
It's exactly. A consensus. It's not about kind. The truth. It's not about the truth anymore. Yeah. It's about the consensus. Well, a lot of people, everybody agrees that the rapture is real. And I believe it.
It's a mass formation.
It is a mass formation. But here's the point that's most important. They believe it because they want to believe
it. Yes, of course.
No, wait, it's more than that.
They believe themselves among those who are going to be raptured.
But there's more to it. There's more to it.
Which is a big virtue signal.
Self-serving belief.
Totally.
And the self-servingness of it is, who knows, maybe there's a history of bad things that happened in that person's life. The self-serving aspect of it is, well, I won't have to go through the tribulation. I won't have to face the things that I need to face in order to be, you know, forgiven and whatever. It is a totally and completely self-serving device. And it is the opposite of what a Christian actually does. A Christian is a person who gives and who provides service and accepts the truth and embraces the truth rather than saying, well, he's wrong. Everybody else agrees. I believe it because I want to believe it. This is the Democrat Party. Trump is guilty because they want to believe he's guilty. There's no truth in that. It is an empty package.
They're creating
evil.
Their own reality.
It's evil. It's evil. And the person who has the best of intentions saying, well, I believe the rapture, but their best intentions are really rooted in bad intentions because Well, okay, what if it is the truth that it's not in the Bible? You know, I mean, the Bible is the Bible, and pretty much everything that's in the Bible has been verified in terms of even the historical aspects of it.
Yeah, but
listen, not the rapture.
If you spend any amount of time on social media, you'll understand very quickly that Democrats, not 100%, but as a general rule, they don't believe in Christianity at all. They mock it at every turn. But what happens is they also use Christianity to beat Christians.
Yeah.
They use it as a club to beat Christians. In other words, they call them out on, well, your religion says this, and you're a bad person because you're not doing it like that. Like in, say, the case of the homelessness.
Yeah. It's co-opted for nefarious.
Yeah, right.
But well-meaning, but nefarious causes. And I want to say,
sure,
there was a Twilight Zone episode, you're probably familiar with it, called To Serve Man.
Mm.
You remember that?
I remember the story about it.
In a nutshell, these 10-foot tall alien creatures land and they give the authorities a book, which is undecipherable. And then they invite 50,000 people to come on their ship and go back to their planet with them. Mm. And at the very end, one of the scientists comes running because he's figured out what the code is.
Yes.
A cookbook. A cookbook. So there it is. The idea is that it's a self-serving belief, as many beliefs are, by the way. And I don't know. I mean, there's nothing wrong, in my opinion, with enlightened self-interest, right? In other words, you know, most people have it this way. If I do this, then that will happen. Or if I do that, then this will happen. In other words, it's cause and effect sort of thinking. And at the same time, and somebody here, my friend Al, says the rapture equates to no suffering. No suffering, no virtue. We will all suffer and we will survive it with Jesus in our hearts. And I think that's a very good way of sort of explaining it. The self-servingness of an idea that is not founded in actual reality has to do with escaping something. And this rapture, we escape the tribulation. We escape all the problems that other people will have to face. And I just think that that's a perfect scenario for demonic forces that we see now in our skies flying around in, you know, whatever things that they've been able to build to deceive us. I call them cloud ships. If cloud ships ever show up, run the opposite direction. Do not think about it, because like in the movie, or not in the movie, but the TV show Twilight Zone, To Serve Man, this is the perfect deception. It's the perfect deception. Who doesn't want to escape the suffering of a tribulation, a time of tribulation? Well, the fact is, it's not going to necessarily be what it is that has been described or painted to be. It could be entirely something different. I mean, there are always, you know why we love sports? Because there are clear winners and losers, right? We have referees, we have people. I think that angels are like referees. And I think this life is like a sport. And you have an opposition. We call him the devil, the enemy. There will be moments in time where you need all these problems to overcome. Because without temptation, as William Prescott said, you have no claim to virtue. You can't just get bestowed virtue. You have to, in a way, you have to earn virtue by test. Without temptation, there is no test. You have that test, but all your life. But what if you just say, I'm done with it. I'm going to get on the cloud ship. There's a lot of crazy stuff in the world. All right. Quick break here. FHU.com. Find out about the Be Still and Know exercise. It is Psalm 46:10. It's God's direct word to us. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back.
Imagine hearing a voice that doesn't use any words. A quiet knowing that's always right and comes from within yourself. Listening to this voice is like putting your mind on autopilot and allowing it to perform actions without your learned experience interfering. You don't know where it's coming from or why, but you definitely know that it's truthful. The good news is that your inner voice, or your sixth sense, is real, and it's called intuition. Top scientists and leaders such as Albert Einstein and Steve Jobs attributed their achievements to their gut feelings. But what makes a person more connected to their gut feeling? Who benefits from the advantages of intuition the most? The Be Still and Know meditation at FHU.com systematically reveals how to trust your intuition. The Be Still and Know meditation at FHU.com is the door to what Jonas Salk expressed. Intuition will tell the thinking mind where to look next. Be ahead of the curve, not behind it, at FHU.com. The question is, how can you unlock the full potential of your mind? If there's no conviction in people's minds, those minds change from morning to evening. However, once your mind becomes objective and centered, you see the truth free from the limitations of that human mind. Objectivity allows us to recall thoughts and memories from our life and our experiences and reflect on these impressions with increasing self-awareness. As you gain an understanding and consciousness of who you truly are and are not, objectivity enables you to then release these embedded images by recognizing that they are just illusions. As a result, you will progress beyond false beliefs that have you feeling trapped. At FHU.com, the book Meaning and Happiness by Roy Masters will show you how to deeply understand the principles of true freedom. Meaning and Happiness by Roy Masters teaches you how to live in the now. It's time to change the world rather than be changed by the world. Go to FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David Masters. Here's your host.
All right, welcome back. And let's see here. Chess Dude says, we must go through tribulation just as Noah survived through the flood. Yes, that's right. That's a great point. But the tribulation, you know, it's, again, it's not necessarily what you think it is, because we all have tests, and take a look at the model of our world. Look what happens when you remove tests. You get DEI. You get affirmative action. In other words, qualification is important. Let's just say the military. If you're 350 pounds, you're not going to qualify to enlist in the military. It's just the truth. You've got to have certain qualifications for everything. If you're a mechanic, you know, you go for a job in the garage down the street. So you go in and say, I want a job. You have any experience working on cars? No. It's objectively stupid. Well, now you could take on an apprentice and say, if you have... I mean, objectively, anything. I want to be a baker. Do you have any experience baking? No. I don't care what you're talking about. Experience is a qualifier. You want to be an airline pilot? You know, they actually started hiring people based on race. If you can imagine that. And I'm not saying it's a race thing. But you just can't say to somebody, I like the way you look. I mean, this is, you know, now here's another thing. Okay. This is a sticky wicket, as my dad would say. Do we marry a person because of their appearance? Yeah. Some of us do. Some of us don't. I mean, aren't we looking for more than just an appearance is the question? Because what's behind that appearance? And so there, I said it. I said the quiet part out loud, but you know, most people just go, oh, that's my significant other, that person. You complete me. Remember that with the Austin Powers mini me? You complete me. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just the truth, you know, that we don't actually do the qualifying. We don't ask the critical questions because we don't want to know. No, tell me. Because we don't want to know. Or do we? Or here's the other side of it. We are deceived. We believe something that isn't true, or we believe something that's true, but not completely. So there are all kinds of things that you have to suffer certain things, certain tribulations in order to learn anything. I mean, isn't that true? Without suffering, how can you learn a thing? Fire bad, food good. If you put your finger in the fire, your finger gets burned, you learn. And so on and so on and so on. There's just thousands of things we learn from experience. And there's thousands of things you don't need to. You don't need to learn some things from experience, because then you have other people that talk to you about it and you learn from what other people share. But you've got to see things for yourself at some point. And just letting somebody else make decisions and tell you what's so. And so I call this, there's two kinds of people. Two kinds. And maybe a third, but I won't go there. There are outside in people. Okay, but when we're all at some level outside in people, let's just call it the butterfly effect. So, because the environment sort of loads us up with all the stuff that's out there, but then there are the inside out people that emerge from the cocoon of culture, of the environment. So the inside out people change within themselves and then become somebody else as a result of this quiet transformation. Know the truth and it shall make you free. Be still and know that I am God. The world is very busy, a very busy place, constantly loading you. Loading down, downloading, downloading. And by the way, some of these crazy people that deal with these, what they call psionics, these UAPs, the psionic trance people that go and they call these things and they show up. You got to be very careful about what you ask for. Because there are more than one thing capable of responding. God is there. God's waiting for you. But then so is the dark one. The dark one is always waiting. Always waiting. Forever waiting in the dark for that little piece of you that is given to you at your birth. And this is the reason why the Roe versus Wade was so evil, because the devil got a whole bunch of little sparks of life before they ever had a chance. And that dark thing is in the dark forever, but it needs your light. It needs your life force. It needs you to give up that most precious gift called your soul. Because that gets taken into the darkness. So, be still and know. This is what God wants you to do. And there's a way to get there. And my dad was given a gift of insight about it. Although the ancient Hebrews had the practice of the tefillin to remind them of the Ten Commandments, to reconnect them with God when they were challenged. FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back.
hell is just about to break loose in your country. We've lost our moral compass. In the last days, a good book says, perilous times will come, and it's coming here.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. Here's your host.
All right, hour number two, David Masters here. Yesterday, I started playing some audio from my dad, and I want to continue that today because it's apropos to the subject of life force. Life force. It is what we have, and scientists have discovered that every single living cell in this world of ours has a little bit of energy in it that goes out when that cell ceases to exist. And the little bit of light is released. So now you think about the human being, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Carillion photography. Carillion photography, look it up. It's light-sensitive photographic paper. I remember when my dad, I'm talking about 1970s, had a man come in and said, I'd like to, you know, take your Carillion handprint. My dad never heard of it. I said, okay. And so my dad put his hand on that paper, and the paper turned, I mean, it was just like almost the whole paper turned white. It shows an imprint of the energy. Leaves, flowered, everything has a Carillion imprint when tested on this Carillion paper. I mean, I saw it. And I thought, wow. I mean, and then they show a person who is, for example, a person who's dying of cancer, the difference between the energy imprint of that person as opposed to a healthy person. So we are, not only are we radio signal receivers, consciousness, that's what I have come to conclude. That doesn't mean you don't have the ability to decide whether or not to brush your teeth. And I think that's a great example. No one is born with a proclivity or the instinct to brush their teeth. It's something you learn. You learn certain things from your environment, which are important. But then you also have to unlearn certain things from your environment. You have to unlearn them. So I want to go back and start playing some of this audio. I do think, though, that I'm going to play first that something that my dad was talking about, which is the anti-life force. And that is, if you know the truth that sets you free, if that's what it is that it takes to get to be set free, what do lies do to you? What do lies do to you?
You know, you remind me of the classic science fiction movie, H.G. Wells' Time Machine, where the Eloi and the Morlocks. Yeah. And we have become like the Eloi in many ways.
Well, the Eloi await us. And they
are. No, the Morlocks are the ones that live underground. So the Eloi are the ones who are codependent.
I am. They're served. They're dependent upon the food that we are ourselves, the food.
Yeah.
And they are, I call them the anti-humans. And the anti-humans are now politicians, and they represent a whole body of people who are dependent upon the hard work of others. So it's like therefore you pass laws because there are more of them than there is of us. More people dependent upon government handout and Medicare and God knows their welfare and all a host of other privileges. But those kind are rewarded for their failure, and we are punished for our success. And slowly but surely, those who are punished for success, well, in Ireland, you know, the Irish, there was a time when the Irish, not too long ago in my own lifetime, when the Irish had a brain drain. They left Ireland by the droves, and the smart ones, and came to America.
New York City, anybody? Communists now rising? In my humble opinion, it should be illegal for a person that we fought a war over, affiliated with communism,
It should be illegal for that person to hold a public office so that there's no possibility that that kind of insanity can ever happen again. I think that every one of you who listens out there should call a talk show and say, why isn't it outlawed? They outlawed the Nazi Party in Germany. This is true. I looked it up recently. We could outlaw such things in this country if we had people talking about it, but they don't. The news. Oh, now we have a communist running New York City, the one of the biggest cities in the world, with the highest Jewish population of anywhere outside of Israel. How is that possible? How is it possible? I mean, let's just change it from communism to vampires. Let's just say the fact that vampires might have killed 150 million people and drained them of blood over the last 100 years. Wouldn't you want to be able to say vampires should not be allowed to hold public office? I mean, anyway, here's another clip. Here's the second part of this, addicted to liars.
The kind of strong ones we have today. And so slowly, but it's changed now. But there's a tendency for a brain drain from one country to another. If there is another country, but now America is the only country left in the world you'd want to go to. And pretty soon you'd have to want to leave this. And that there's nothing about this in the media. But freedom is disappearing. It's on the retreat right now. And it's on the retreat because we don't understand the forces, the manipulative, the techniques of mind control, the holding back thoughts and ideas with which you can come to correct conclusions. Like I go to my doctor today. He holds back. Doesn't say much. He's in a hurry. He takes a look. I can see in his eyes in a hurry. He's listening to me, but he's waiting to run. Can't talk to a man like that. See, so the information is so vital. And the way the information is delivered is even more vital, because to make a point about that, if you have a Christian who, 88% of Americans are so-called Christians. How is it that 88% of Americans who are Christian can be controlled by a very tiny percentage?
Yeah, except for one thing, Dad. And I know you can see me, I can't see you. But it's gotten worse. Even if we, now that we have a better president, it's getting exponentially worse. Dad. Anyway. Ice to Sea said, we used to get the best of the world looking for freedom. Now we get the worst looking for a handout. Well, we've gone through part of the tribulation, the Bidenian era. You know, Caligula. Biden, Caligula Biden with his sick. Anyway. Yeah. So anyway, have you been energetically drained? Because this is part of what we have to deal with in this world. Is the energy suckers, the Morlocks, the psychic Morlocks is what I'll call them. The vampire, psychic vampires, and there are many. And there's still a lot of good people, by the way. I mean, thank God there are a lot of good people, but the psychic vampires are many. They are legion, as it's described in the scripture. And all you have to do is just be able to detect them, and that creates the firewall. See, I talk about this quite often. The problem that the average person doesn't have a firewall, a way of deflecting what it is that's potentially coming in. But if you can detect what you're dealing with and you don't react to it in the wrong way, and we all do, we all have a tendency to react and overreact. Sometimes I describe myself as being a nuclear reactor, because there's times where I just do. Not defending it at all. I mean, it's, some things are outrageous. And I have to watch that. But thank God I have, you know, moments in time where I'm able to step back and really be objective, and through the Be Still and Know exercise that I've been doing since I was about 17 years old. Yeah, that would be going on 55 years is how long I've been meditating. I have, by the grace of God, been able to survive. That's all I can tell you. Your turn is waiting at FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Masters. How do you like being called a statistic? Well, that's what you are, because statistically, the odds are against you. That's why my dad started well over 50 years ago to understand why people do the things they do. And that's why he wrote his first book called How Your Mind Will Make You Well. Let me read something from the foreword of the book. Our path of existence depends on our choice in this matter. By not choosing rightly or not knowing how, we continue responding to a compulsive external tug on our senses, which causes us the agony of rebelling against or conforming to what only appears to be right. Pavlov demonstrated that dogs would respond increasingly to repeated stimuli with data and feeling, and eventually, idea alone could produce the reaction. Conditioned reflex may be normal for animals, but it spells agony for mankind, daily robbing him of the will to do right. Does that resonate with you? If it does, go to FHU.com. You need to get the book called How Your Mind Will Make You Well and begin to use the Be Still and Know exercise as taught by my dad. If you go to the FHU.com website and listen to the Be Still and Know exercise, this exercise is very simple. You can listen to it before you buy it. Go to FHU.com and listen to Be Still and Know. And then also for the military, we have coping strategies. So there's no intrusion on your privacy. You can listen to the coping strategies. Feel what it feels like to be in control again. Go to the FHU.com website. That's FHU.com. The name of the book is How Your Mind Will Make You Well by Roy Masters. And Be Still and Know, the exercise. Both available at FHU.com. Conditioned reflex may be normal for animals, but it spells agony for mankind, daily robbing him of the will to do right. Does that resonate with you? If it does, go to FHU.com. Or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David Masters. Here's your host.
All right. Energetically drained?
Energetically drained, are you?
Have you ever been around a person and you feel drained? Oh, you're living with someone and you feel exhausted all the time? Do you have a loss of energy to people? Do people grow on you, you think, and get under your skin? Have you ever heard the word induction? It's a technical term for the transference of electrical energy through the air or the field to another device. And it's like an osmosis, I suppose. And but this happens to human beings. People can drain your energy just by standing next to you or being near them. And you may suffer from fatigue, exhaustion. The very person that drains you can say, "What's the matter, honey?" and drain you some more. I wanted to talk about cancer yesterday. The reason for cancer is so ominous, so controversial, that I don't believe anybody really wants to believe it, because they'd have to believe something about themselves. And little children get cancer. There are secret forces between parents and children that go on that you can't see. I've got to step very, very carefully, because I don't want you to reject me out of hand, but one in two of you are going to die from cancer, because I know the cause of cancer, and I've helped thousands of people get better, having thousands of people cured from PTSD, not just hundreds, maybe 100,000 people, to the point the medical society got very, very disturbed. And one day I had to go to jail for practicing medicine without a license, but it wasn't practicing medicine. I had practiced hypnotherapy, and discovered all the things I should be sharing with you. They made a special case of it. An older man came in who was under psychiatric care and said he wanted to be cured of alcoholism. Well, I explained to him that his father was an alcoholic, so therefore he resented his father, and therefore he became his father and indulged in the same means of escaping from the hostility and the frustration a child has to a parent. That was called diagnosis.
Yeah, to make this perfectly clear, I was still, I think I was less than a year old when that happened to my dad. And I actually have memories of him not being there. He wasn't gone very long, actually. He was gone for maybe a month or two. And I don't know, they convicted him of some trumped up charge. Like they will always do, you know, what the communists say, show me the person and I will show you the crime. Any different today? 70 years later? No, it's worse. Worse today, Dad. Worse today. Thank God you don't. I mean, I wish you were here, but thank God you don't have to witness what's going on in the world today. I guess you would have some amazing insights on it. But yes, it was 70 years ago that they put him in jail for practicing. That was a bogus charge because he wasn't practicing medicine. He was actually practicing at the very beginnings of what he taught for the rest of his life, which was learning how to get quiet and observe your thoughts. And the minute you start to observe your thoughts, you start to disconnect from your thoughts, which aren't your thoughts anyway. And then the question goes, well, where do those thoughts come from? And this is what research is now beginning to reveal, is that consciousness itself is non-local. It exists within a quantum vacuum, and everything is there. Everything is there. And we are just tuners. We're tuning in one way or another. We're tuning in. And here's the other thing that's interesting. There can be a duality. You know how sometimes you go across the dial? I mean, I remember it used to be this way. And you get cross chatter where you can hear two stations at once. One is bleeding over into the other. Well, that's what we have too. We have the conscious cross chatter. We have the Holy Spirit, the truth from the quantum vacuum. And then we have the dark side trying to bleed in over it. Simply true. Simply true. Here comes another clip.
I would like to approach the subject of cancer. Half of you, ladies and gentlemen, despite all the heroic efforts of your scientists and your oncologists, you will die from it. There's something really wrong with you, and something wrong that you can't admit. It may be that you're in love with a woman that doesn't want to marry you, and you go out for her for 20 years, and you still try to marry her, but she won't marry you, something like that. It could be just frustration, smoking, because you resent her. But then something like that. It could be anything. You know, it just could be that you just never got over your problems of childhood, that you carry with you some kind of guilt or failing or insecurity. That comes from a simple word that describes as a very complex thing, sin, that's made a home in you. Now, let's get very close to cancer, sin that makes a home in you. Now, please, it's all I can say right now because it's much too painful. Being tired all the time is a very bad sign, a sign that something like cancer could happen to you. And cancer is not a disease. It's not infectious. But in a manner of speaking, it is, because when you see it running in the family, it's only because people grow on you. They also get under your skin, I said. And if you don't know what's come over you lately and you're not yourself anymore, you ever heard of osmosis? Or induction. And I open the program by saying, induction. Who knows what induction is? It's the transference of electrical energy from one coil to another. You make one coil alive. You put your battery on a coil of wire, and you put a telephone in there, and about 3 or 4 feet away, if you speak into the microphone and rattle the wire as the electricity is going through, the other coil sucks on it. It's called induction. The dead coil, which is not alive, comes alive and takes the energy from the live one. You do that with your computers. You have so many people in a room, and it's so much energy coming from the, what do they call it, the wireless connection to their computers. There's only so many people in a certain area, and then it gets weaker. That's induction as a form of it. Now, people can drain you. I have two enemies. I have the administration as my enemy and the media. They hate my guts. They've hated it for 1960 and before that. I've been a thorn in their side for a long time. They know me. They've left me alone. And I've challenged what they call the mainstream media, which nothing else but the communists who think they're Americans. They're just born here and programmed in school, as over the years. So they know me and they don't like where I'm coming from.
Now, identity. Id entity. Identity. Id entity. It was Freud, if I'm not mistaken, that coined the phrase the id, the subconscious self. What he's talking about, and what I have discovered from my own experience in life, is that there is another you that's not you. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more after this break. Because there's only one way to discover that, and that is to learn how to get still and then begin to know. Be still and know. It's an exercise that my dad was shown many, 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 many decades ago. And now it's there for you at FHU.com. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back. You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David Masters. Here's your host.
All right, welcome back. And I got to tell you that you have potentially something that you're yet to discover. You probably already know that it's true. And here's the problem is that we complicate our own lives quite often without realizing it. That, you know, most people are their own worst enemy. You think you have enemies in the world? Yes, you do. I mean, the woman who was set on fire in Chicago on the train, probably not a good idea to sleep on a train in Chicago. You know, one of these public transit trains. Was she a victim? Absolutely. Horrible. But I believe that at some level, you have to be first a victim of your own ignorance. The word ignorance applies. Then you become a victim of other things that are beyond your control. But you're first a victim of your own lack of self-consciousness, awareness, whatever. So there's this, you know, this other side of us that actually seeks to sabotage. Because you have a certain amount of time in this life, as you know. You have an expiration date. Nobody knows what that is necessarily. But it can be lengthened or it can be reduced based upon your source of existence. Whatever you know, Jesus put it this way. He said, so be it according to what you believe. So if you believe all the wrong things, and if you believe that life is sort of random, and if you believe errant ideas. And a lot of people can live a very long time believing all the wrong things. It's really weird. And what those people are is that is a form of temptation to say, well, look at that person. No, they lived 100 years. Now, if you actually go and talk to the people that lived 100 years, you might find something very interesting. They have some great life lessons to teach. Those really elderly people. I don't remember who it was that called them the greatest generation, having gone through World War II and all the rest of it, the Korean War and Vietnam and so on. These people can really tell you some amazing stories and share insights. But a lot of people look at these elderly people and say, oh, those people, you know, they all. And sadly, I have a tendency to believe that the things that cause dementia are specifically designed to do so. I'm just saying, because the lessons of the elder generation, you know, the American Indian tribes, and there are places in the world where the elders are highly respected, highly guarded, highly cared for. Not so much in America, for whatever reason. So I think that there are weapons deployed against people's consciousness. They're the things that they've learned that they could pass on. Just saying. Here comes another Roy Masters.
Born very suggestible to the world you live in. And if you're fortunate to be born in America, or in a good part of America, because there are lots of bad parts, you see, and you have a nice family, you might have a better chance. But if you're born into a bad family, it doesn't mean to say you don't have any way of escape or way of healing. It's just, if you're dissatisfied with the world you are born with, and you know there's something wrong with the way you exist, I can help you. If you can hear my voice, I can help you. Except you have to hear where I'm coming from, because it's where I'm going to send you to, you see. See, now we're talking about faith. Well, am I telling you the truth? Am I coming from a good place? Or are you suspicious? Just innocent children get damaged just because they're innocent, because the children come into the world innocent. The contrast between what they are and what their parents and teachers and whoever else is in that environment are can be devastating to those people. The innocent child is somehow, innocence makes bad people feel very uncomfortable. They feel angry. They want to put the light out. A lot of you have had that problem of not realizing you have a light when you come into the world, but the people around you couldn't handle it. And you were the target. You became a special target, just like Jesus was and the disciples. They became special targets because they stood out in the world. And, well, the rulers of the world, the religious world and the secular world, they sort of joined forces, just like the liberals and the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda. They're joining forces. One's godless and one says they believe in God, but they're joining forces against Judeo-Christian America. Strange, isn't it? They're both dark forces. We're starting to be a bright light. That's why we're different. And many people in the world don't like us. They're afraid of us.
Yeah, even in our own country. There's a politician, a young woman running for in the state of Tennessee for Congress or Senate or whatever it is, who hates her own state and who hates in Tennessee. She hates the culture. She hates it. She said so back in 2019, which they found a video of her saying it. But, you know, here she is. She's coming as a socialist, a communist. They hate. That's what they have. And it's really interesting because people who hate, they have these strange commonalities that bring them together for certain causes. It's very weird. I know it's very strange to even contemplate. But hate is an energy. It's opposite of love. But see, again, talking about life force, the threat of innocence, you know, children, and he was talking about children that have ends up with leukemia and various kinds of diseases. Well, it could be environmentally, you know, electromagnetic fields caused by power lines and things of that nature. Definitely, it will mess you up and kill you. I mean, it's just now we understand that. We didn't understand it so much in the last, let's say, 50 years. But again, how much of all of these things are just not necessarily neglect, but by design? How many of the things that kill us? You know, they're talking about ultra-processed foods. Really? Yeah. No, your bologna and the you know, your lunch meats and your refined grains and all the rest of it, ultra-processed, because your body is designed to do what? You know, you try to give a horse ultra-processed foods, I don't think it'll last long. Same with pigs. They get diverticulitis and diverticulosis when, you know, pigs are designed to eat all kinds of nasty things. But if you try to give them ultra processed food, I think we'd kill them really. Although, you know, anyway. Yeah, one more here.
Just like they're afraid of innocent children. And innocent children are always being always a target. Sorry. But at least the goodness of your innocence keeps you alive and you endure the horrors. And you may be an alcoholic. You may be a drug addict. You may have a serious illness from all your angers and frustrations. But still, they haven't put the light out, have they? Because you can hear me. You understand me. You know that the answer to your problem is what? Is to find what they've took from you or took you away from. That's a better way of saying it. They took you away from something deep within you that you should have been one with. You can come to that. And when you do, you'll become completely well. And the worst illness, worst sickness will disappear first.
You hear that? If you become aware, this is the power that we're dealing with here. We're not just dealing, as the Bible says, we're not just dealing with flesh and blood. Because we see other people acting out, but do we see why? And this is a problem of the media, because the media just simply says, well, another person was murdered on a train today. And this person has been in and out of jail and had arrested 41 times. And then there's some judge that lets these people out. Now, I ask you, where is the allegiance of that person who is installed to protect the public interest? Where is the allegiance of that person to the innocent or to the evil? And it's another, you can't even look at the person who's evil because they themselves are not in control. That's why we have restraints called laws. And so, you know, if you have a person who, let's say drunk drivers. Yeah, you know, they have very stiff penalties for drunk driving. Why? Well, because those people, if they're allowed to continue that behavior, somebody else is going to die. They themselves might, they might kill, but let's just say drunk drivers are just treated the way that a lot of these petty criminals are. So you let them out. It's just one thing. They were having a bad day. And just keep letting them out 50 times. I mean, isn't that a recipe for an innocent person's life to be taken? Hello? Hello, liberals? Hello, leftists? Do you care? Well, you know, the leftists have a perspective on humanity, which is there's too many of us, and we're just useless eaters because, you know, the planet, there's just not enough planet to go around. It's crazy. I mean, it defies all logic, all reason. It just, you know, anyway, you know, because you know. You see it for yourself, kind of the theme of it today. But do you see yourself ever being a part of the problem? And if you do, and if you say yes, guilty, then you work on being a part of the solution. And that is the solution. Working toward being part of the solution as opposed to being a part of the problem. Recognizing that you're a part of the problem is an amazing thing. Know the truth and it shall make you free. It starts to undo all of the little invisible tendrils, the threads that bind you to a terrible, terrible fate. FHU.com is where you find out about the Be Still and Know exercise. You can write us at P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. And guess what? Your donations to this program are tax deductible. I'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back.
At FHU.com, you can change how you react to stress and improve your life with a 7-minute meditation. If you could learn the secret of how to control your responses, how to find that God-given switch in your mind, which would allow you to energize and motivate yourself, you would never again feel conflict, guilt, fear, or depression. If you're willing to be shown how you can become the person you were created to be, allow the foundation of human understanding to introduce you to a simple exercise that will prove to you, through your own experience, that control over yourself without unbearable suppression is not only possible, but vital to your health, to your future happiness, and to your very existence.
What do you see? Surely there's little twinkles of light, different shapes moving across the screen of your mind. Is that so? Something magical happens when you observe those little pixels crossing the screen of your mind. It has all different colors, little sparkles. This is programming from within. Just be aware of them, and you will find that you are in a refuge, meaning you can hear my voice, but you've left your thoughts behind. That's very important. This is what's happening.
Here's what people are saying about the 7-minute meditation. Physicians are taught to treat symptoms. These exercises have the capacity to resolve the root of the symptom. Dr. Rick Titus, MD, CCFP. Time and time again, I have observed time and time again the efficacy of the teachings and practices in people of varying emotional maladies. Dr. Ron Carlson, clinical psychologist. Go to FHU.com and listen to the 7-minute meditation. It will change your entire life and the way you look at the world you live in.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David Masters. Here's your host.
Well, sickness will disappear first. There are other ones underneath it, you see, but you'll see the magic. So you're not completely cured. Remember, cause and effect, effects becoming thousands of them. But they go very, very, very quickly. The first thing that happens is that you got to believe the spoken word, because you see, there's two people, two earthbound people. I'm earthbound right now. There's this good earthbound people that want to help you and help you to find what they have found. I want to help you to find what I found. And then there are bad people who don't want you to do that because they love the power that comes from it, keeping you powerless. That's the hypnotic thing. There's two forces that influence you. Then you have two minds. You can call it your unconscious if you like, but I'm talking through your ears, and you hear with your, you see with your eyes, and you hear with your ears, and you perceive with your eyes, and you understand with your ears, and you have another level of not understanding things. These are not just words. These are very carefully chosen words in a manner of speaking.
Mm. I used to see on the chats, as everybody I grew up with thought there were too many people in the world, that was the great brainwashing to hate humanity. See, you're either a part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And it's unavoidable. That's part of the problem, is that you don't realize that there are moments in time where you could say something and you don't. And you don't know whether or not what you might have said could change the course of anything. Or there's times that you could do something and you didn't. And then there are times where you could do something and you did. And there are times where you could and you tried, but somehow you failed. But then did you give up or did you persevere? See, I have to go back to what William Prescott said. Without temptation, you have no claim to virtue. Without tribulation, do you really have a claim to anything? Without tests, can you qualify for anything? Or do you just walk up and say, I want to fly an airplane? Would anybody in their right mind actually do that, is the question. Would a person who has no experience flying an airplane actually have the gall to go to, I don't know, an airline and say, I'm here to apply for airline pilot? Okay, well, let's see your credentials.
Well, I don't have any. You know, I'm going to tell you, I bet there are some people who have done that. But this is what has been created by the dark side of the left. We call it affirmative action, which is another lie. All you're doing is affirming the insane when you give people positions that they don't deserve. So I think you have to, in some way, now Jesus is a different story. None of us deserve what Jesus did for us. This is the strange twist. Do any of us deserve what Jesus did for us? He died for us when we were yet still sinners. Think about that.
I'm guided to speak these words. I could read it. I could write it out, but you'd hear that I was an actor on the stage. I don't prepare these programs. I don't prepare what I'm going to say because it's got to be from my heart, so to your heart. So therefore, it's not as smooth flowing as if I was the talk show host, as a talk show host is supposed to be. It's all this is just a matter of fact. And I just see it as I'm saying it to you, see? So it loads the words up with like a arrow shot from a bow into your mind so that you say, I see that. All I have to do now is help you with that part of you that is very, very suggestible to the world and sort of bring, it's brought your consciousness along with it. It's sort of, your consciousness is mired in a sea of words and emotions, and it's hard to get free. Jesus said, of myself I can do nothing. The Father within me, he doth it. Then he says in another passage, your faith has made you well. I bring you to a state of mind where you can function from what you know is right in your heart and not have conflict. To resolve it, to break through that conflict from the other side, from the inside out. See? To master your thoughts. But of course, you have to be given new ones. It's called understanding, and it's intuitive, and it's forever. Right to the Foundation of Human Understanding, Box 1000, Grand Spouse, Oregon, 97528, and request, please send me the CD. Now, if you would send postage, that would be nice, because we're a nonprofit organization, and we can only do so much if people don't help a little bit. The least you could do, please, is postage. But if you don't want to spend any money at all, not even postage, you go to the website, FHU.com, and get a friend to download it for you. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you for that little plug. There's so few people that are interested. Yeah, there's just not many people who actually care. They don't. They're so caught up with the everyday stuff of their lives. And yeah, the truth, there's no market for it. There's a market for, oh, I don't know. Again, I want to go back to the idea that life is like a football game, in the sense people want to root for their team. And of course, there are good teams. Good teams tell more truth than bad teams. Bad teams lie. The left are pathological liars. The pathological part of it is that you can trace their lies forward and backward. It's a record. And good people, the truth never changed. You know, Mark Twain said, if you tell the truth, you never have to remember anything. I think that's, at some level, that's kind of true. But, you know, in the case of my dad, I don't think that he was able to fulfill his ultimate potential because people wouldn't get behind him. I think even when, you know, Jesus was on this earth, there weren't that many people. There could have been tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that followed Jesus, but he had little groups of people. All right, folks, thanks for listening. This is the end of the show. P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Or FHU.com is where you find out about the Be Still and No Exercise. Thanks for listening.